Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. We are just 3 days away from the Steelers renewing their hammer versus nail rivalry with the Cleveland Browns. We'll get more into that when we do PM Team Power Rankings at 3:30. We're going to start with the biggest Steelers question that's getting asked right now by our listeners, by Steelers fans. And that is simply, what the hell is going on with Pat Freiermuth? And that's Mike Tomlin talking about the tight end conundrum of wanting Darnell Washington, bigger man, in against 4-3 defenses. It's a 4-3 defense this week with the Browns. It's a 4-3 defense on Thursday with the Bengals. So if you take Tomlin at his word, we're still going to see a reduced role for Freiermuth. It's never been this small, Malzi. He's never been less involved in the Steelers' offense, which is ironic because he just got paid last year.
Right.
He's coming off his worst game ever as a Steeler, where he had 0 yards, 0 catches, and 0 targets. He committed a major mistake on special teams that got a field goal blocked. Mm-hmm. It's the fewest snaps he's ever played in a game in the NFL. And there was no injury. It was strictly coach's decision. We thought we were better off with somebody else. He's 37th right now in the NFL in catches. He's 40th in yards. He's got a cap hit that's more than $11 million. You can find tight ends, dime a dozen guys, to be that type of player. He's getting paid like a number one tight end. He's producing like a number two or number three tight end.
Yeah.
So something's got to give there. Tomlin's explanation is the weight class thing. Jerry Dulac in his chat yesterday said basically he thought it was just, from what he's heard, a lack of plays, that they just have not had a lot of opportunities to throw the ball. They've been more of a run-based offense. And that's why we haven't seen him get the ball as much. That really doesn't hold up under scrutiny. Thank you, Bill, bringing me a little fork and napkin because I've got my strawberry harvest salad ready to
look
go.
And you know what? I think it's messed up that we don't have a camera down here so that our loyal YouTube listeners can see you just attack that thing like a rabid rabbit later on in the show.
That doesn't hold up under scrutiny because Aaron Rodgers has already had 2 games this year where he's thrown the football more than 30 times.
Right.
It's 7 catches for 65 yards. So fans have a right to want to wonder what's going on here. This Tomlin rationale really doesn't make sense. Dulac's explanation really doesn't make sense. Freiermuth talked to Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette yesterday, and we know Pat. We like Pat. Pat's not going to go the diva wide receiver route and say anything close to a controversial comment about his lack of opportunities. That's just not how he rolls.
He also did get paid, which makes it easier to be a little more tolerant, no matter how competitive you are, to be a little more tolerant of a reduced role.
I would say about that, I mean, how much of that money is guaranteed? Because if he keeps producing like this, he's not going to stick around at that.
It's not just that
price
he's not producing. It's that they're not really giving him chances to produce is the real story here. And Tomlin's explanation, forget about Jerry saying there's not enough plays. I can rebut that easily. If you have a player that you really feel like is a huge cog in your offense, you make them a focal point of some of the plays that you are getting to run. Like, you prioritize them. If the Patriots with Randy Moss only got a certain number of plays a game, a bunch of them are going to Randy Moss, right? Because he's great. Steelers with AB.
Of course.
The Tomlin rationale makes the entire situation very curious. He goes, well, we've got 4-3 teams coming up, two divisional opponents, mind you, who play 4-3 schemes. And him saying it's not fair to ask Pat or by extension really Janu or Connor. He didn't say Janu, but you could lump him in.
To block Miles Garrett.
His rationale then makes me think this. You're talking about four of your games every year when you're talking about two division opponents who play a 4-3 scheme. I don't think the Bengals just switched once they got Anarumo out of there to a 4-3. They've run it for a while. Yep. Hendrickson's a DN, not a linebacker.
Yep.
Why did you give Pat an extension if that's what your head coach is saying, getting real into the nitty-gritty of tactics about playing 4-3s? If a quarter of your games every season are going to be against teams where, in theory, Pat's role is going to be reduced, why make him one of your priorities to sign? That doesn't hold up to basic scrutiny.
And they also brought in a guy who is a pass-the-ball first tight end in a trade.
Right, and paid him comparable money
right.
to what Pat's getting. So either they really are prisoners of a very small window of their schedule where there's a bunch of 4-3 teams, and just wait, the dynamic duo Freiermuth-Jonnu Smith offense is going to manifest itself. Or I'm not going to say there's buyer's remorse. I suspect they like Pat. I think they like Jonnu, or else they wouldn't give him the money. They just misevaluated what these guys are, how they were going to use them, and how it was all going to shake out. Because right now it's about $25 million for two guys who have combined for, I believe, one touchdown, which technically was a glorified handoff,
yeah,
and like 135 yards receiving. Jonnu Smith's numbers look more like a running back if you go and actually look at the number of catches
right.
and the number of yards. So the problem exists with him, too. He's just not a drafted and developed Steeler.
So if you like Washington more as a blocker, you like Washington more in the red zone, you might even like Jonnu Smith more in the red zone, what do you do in paying Pat Freiermuth that amount of money? That's why I say right now, make me an offer. I mean, I don't think the Steelers have to trade him, but I'm sure there are teams out there that would utilize Pat differently and use him more. I need a wide receiver. I don't know if I can trade Pat for a wide receiver, but if I can trade Pat for a pick, that gives me an extra pick to then trade a pick to pick
for
up
a wide receiver.
Yeah. And, this is a lot of moving parts. I don't know, man. The Browns are making trades left and right here. We're seeing the Ravens made a trade. The Eagles are playing tonight. They find a way to make trades all the time.
Howie Roseman's probably just randomly thinking about a trade he hasn't even made yet.
Omar Khan likes to make trades. They traded for Mike Williams last year.
If the whole goal is to make it the best and most equipped to win team that you can get, right now a true wide receiver two or something close to it is more useful to them, pretty obviously, by how they're not using Pat than he is.
And if you don't trade Pat, two things have to happen. He either has to become a bigger focus of your offense.
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't, you either have to cut him or make him take a pay cut at the end of the year. You can't pay a guy $11 million a year to play 15 snaps and be on pace this year to catch 30 footballs.
I would agree.
30 footballs, Chris.
And for zero touchdowns and how many yards? He'd be on, if you quadruple his numbers, he's on pace to have 30 catches, about 300 yards, and no touchdowns.
Yes. Yeah.
That's staggering.
And so...
it's a huge... by the way...
yeah.
Forget about all this. Like, I like Pat, too.
And I still think he's a good player.
I think he's a useful player to a team that has a certain mindset on how to use him. What a misevaluation between your general manager and your coaching staff, right? You give the guy the extension that suggests you see him. And we talked about him in these terms when we had the whole where's the wide receiver too. I said, well, clearly they see Freiermuth as like the de facto second wide receiver to Metcalf, second pass catcher. Clearly there is a major disconnect in what your GM prioritized and what your coaching staff's actually doing. And what makes that even more head scratching is your head coach has been around long enough that he has a massive, more than other head coaches say so, and who should and does get extensions here.
He's fifth on the team in receiving yards, and he's sixth on the team in catches. Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell have caught more balls than him so far this year.
The only other thing I can think of is that Jerry didn't bring up and that Mike didn't bring up is they are still getting the ball out so fast that they feel like the best use of that is trying to hit Metcalf because he's so explosive. And sometimes I think one of the common fan complaints is Pat has trouble breaking tackles in the – like, he's not going to make the first guy miss. Not a ton of yak.
Yeah.
Still, shouldn't a tight end, if you are getting the ball out quickly on a consistent basis, shouldn't a tight end that you feel good about be one of your big safety blankets who's churning out 8, 9, 10 yards a catch?
Especially because he's not being asked to, like, delay his route to block.
Get out there in your pattern.
Right,
exactly. Get out there in your pattern and make yourself available.
He's a big wide receiver, essentially, is what he is.
And they don't see fit to use him like one where they would actually split him out and use him in patterns like that.
And look, he's not going to say this either, but I'll say it for him. He's got to take it personally the way Tomlin made it sound like a weight thing. If he was a better blocker, this would not be a question.
If he was George Kittle, they would trust. If Tomlin thought he could block like Kittle, who's like a true complete tight end.
Or Heath.
Or Heath. I mean, but Kittle's about the same size as Pat, right? About 6'5", 250. I mean, Kittle's not like a humongous dude. He's a maniac blocker. They trust him to do
everything.
He's
probably the most complete tight end in the entire league.
I would say so. I mean,
he's 6'4", 250.
And Pat, no disrespect to him, he is much closer to a big wide receiver.
6'5", 260 for Pat.
And Kittle's 6'4", 250?
Yeah.
No disrespect to Pat on the he's really a de facto wide receiver front, but he's not Travis Kelce in that regard, like Prime Kelce, who was also more or less just a wide receiver. Travis Kelce is going to wear a gold jacket because of how good he is in space.
Former NFL GM, I asked about this. I said, just for bleeps and giggles, if other NFL teams knew they could trade for Pat Freiermuth, what do you think the Steelers could get back?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, absolutely, teams would be interested. They could get, at worst, a mid-round pick back. I think a couple of teams who would be interested in him are the Commanders and Rams.
Commanders definitely need pass catchers. They're banged up. You figure Daniels doesn't need as much help in the blocking department to keep him upright because he's mobile. And with the
Ertz is old.
Right. And don't you just look at the Rams and say, well, in that offense, like, he's going to
– sure.
It's just that offense.
No, man. But I don't think – my I don't think that this is not, in my opinion, like, we saw kind of, as it turned out, the Steelers started to use Minkah Fitzpatrick differently because they came to the conclusion that he was pretty washed as a player.
Yes.
I don't think this is quite the same thing. I think that Darnell Washington is developed in a way where he's such a great run-blocking tight end, and the pass-catching skills, especially in tight areas like the red zone,
are good enough,
have improved enough where they want to give him a lot of playing time. And they also have the other tight end just happens to be the offensive coordinator's teacher's pet.
Correct.
It's like his
who's
favorite
also had,
guy.
Who's also had a bigger
as much.
Well, who's also had a bigger season than Pat's ever
right.
had.
I think it's just an odd man out situation, Chris.
There's also this.
You can't pay a guy like this $11 million. No. You just can't.
There's also this. Aaron Rodgers, we know, has massive amounts of say-so. And I don't say this to try to, like, denigrate Pat at all, but I'm sure he's aware of it. Rodgers has say-so in that offense. Don't you think he's a huge influence in making sure Washington's out there a lot too? I want this. If we're going to run the ball and we're going to do this, I want this dude out there. He functions as a de facto offensive lineman when I need him to be.
Yeah, I mean, and he said all this talk about him playing offensive tackle, I disagree with. The guy's clearly a tight end. He can play that position, yeah.
He's a fan of a 6'7 guy who can box people out for passes, and he's a fan of a 6'7, 290-pound guy who moves people who don't want to be moved.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie has an interesting theory as to why so many Steelers fans want Pat Freiermuth traded or
being very harsh. He gets treated pretty harshly. Like, if you go into the YouTube comments,
yep.
He does not get the grace that other Steelers players do.
Like who? Give me an example.
T.J. Watt gets defended still, although
well, he should. I mean, he's one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah, but when he has like an off game, people are quick to defend him. I think honestly, like a guy like Fautanu from some fans gets defended early on in his career here. Let me try to think of some other guys who I think get like more of this treatment. Honestly, you know what it reminds me of? Pat gets the opposite of where at the very end of Ben's career, obviously a hugely accomplished player, but who was a clearly diminished version of himself.
Yeah.
I think people extended extra grace both in what they believed he could still do, and if a play would go wrong, they would try to find another reason it went wrong. Pat gets the opposite of that. Like, I do think Pat gets clobbered even more than maybe he deserves. Like, he'll catch, for example, I'll give you the last example before we let Donnie explain his theory. I'll watch games and be following Twitter in real time, and Pat will maybe make a catch, but he'll get brought down within like a yard or so.
Uh-huh.
And you'll just see people going, there it is again, Freiermuth, no yards after catch, can't make a guy miss. Tell me what he does well exactly. And like, they'll just bemoan the fact that he caught the ball and didn't do anything else with it.
Yep.
That's,
Donnie, what is
that's
this
a high standard.
And what is this person's avatar social media profile usually?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's every single fan that does this, but I do think that there is some Pitt-Penn State underlying element here. I just think it's human nature for some people, and I think that the way that plenty of Penn State fans treated a particular Pitt quarterback who also played for the Steelers briefly, I think it's like a way of, I don't know if I'd say payback, but like they will critique that player more harshly because, oh, he's one of their guys. I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm not saying it's every single person that has
but you think
a picture
most
of Dan Marino from 1980
right.
or
okay.
a Panther as their avatar. I'm not saying it's every single person. I think there's some portion that it's
but your but your theory is the harshest criticism of Freiermuth come from Pitt fans.
I mean,
I
can't even say that for a fact. I just think they are, like, it's more likely than not, I feel, that they're not going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt on anything. And, like, let's say even Sunday he goes out and has his best game of the year, or, hell, I mean, maybe even the best game of his career, and it'll be like, oh, blind squirrel finds the nut.
I think there's another thing working against him, though.
I think what Chris is about to say is probably more on it, or unless I'm wrong. But what he brought up during the break, I think
he's kind
might
of
be
a
more
finesse.
Accurate.
Are you talking about this? He's kind of a finesse player. He's more
yes.
of a. He's not a blocker. He's not Heath Miller. He's not like a blood and guts. I'll both catch the pass, get my neck bent backwards by a Ravens player, and basically
yeah.
come back right away.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it all. I'm not saying Pat's not tough or gritty. Any football player is, and I think Pat in situations can block, but he is not that kind of tight end. He is very much the essentially a big wide receiver, and I think fans here have come to why do you think fans gravitate to Washington? He's a humongous dude who knocks defensive ends on their asses. People here will all – I think most football fans, regardless of city, will always love that style of player. And if you're a quasi-wide receiver who's not putting up huge numbers at tight end,
yeah.
people are going to notice that you're not doing the other things that guys like Heath Miller used to do.
So I still think he's more popular than I don't think he's in the fans' doghouse yet. Like, I don't think he's a guy that if we're doing like an approval rating poll on Pat Freiermuth, it's below 50%. This is just me anecdotally.
Okay. Okay.
First of all, if I had to guess why there are fans who are upset with him, not the way the team's handling it, but how he's like his lack of production being his fault.
Yeah.
I think the root of it is the money. That's what I think.
Once
the
you
issue
get
is.
Paid,
yes.
people get frustrated. Yeah, I think
yes.
that's fair. That's part of the reason why TJ Watts does get criticized.
Right.
He's making more money than everybody else.
I think when you get a second contract and you get paid and you don't produce, fans stop giving you the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's only fair. I mean, I find I do that. I mean, to whom more is given, more is expected. Who said that? Spike Lee?
I actually think that was Confucius.
Stanley?
No. That was Peter Parker's Uncle Ben.
Okay.
With
well,
great power, in this case, great money comes
that.
Great responsibility. Yeah.
Yes.
No. Stanley, very,
okay, so
very
that's,
profound.
That's what I mean. Okay, they gave him a contract that paid him like an above-average tight end.
Yep.
Produce like one. All right?
But then, like, you go back to the fact that he's not even getting on the field enough to actually produce.
Well, and that's why if I had to guess, not that we have we don't have a sea of callers on this, but if we did, my guess would be that more people blame the coaches for his lack of production and not him. That this would be another opportunity to rip Tomlin than it would be, hey, Freiermuth's just overrated, or Freiermuth's just... I think more people would say that than they would say... Now, my personal feeling on it right now, at this very moment, is that it is more of a failure of the coaching staff than a failure by him. My personal feeling.
I think it probably is, but I also think it says something that they paid him all that money, but for what they are trying to do right now, don't feel like he can really help them. And if we're going by the most recent game, their offense moved the ball and clipped it along pretty nicely. I mean, by the Steelers' standards, they ran the ball well, they passed the ball efficiently.
Right.
And so you'd almost have to say, like, yeah, I mean, they scored 24 points and maybe took their foot off the gas pedal. It kind of worked. The YouTube comments, for whatever reason, might be like that might be why I'm saying his approval rating is lower than it really is, because they do not like him. Jory Rans Tate, after a catch, Pat Freiermuth goes down faster than a beach beer. That's kind of harsh. I mean, beach beers do go
kind
down.
Kind of. That's really harsh.
Beach beers do go down in a heartbeat, man. You can be 10 deep on the beach before you even realize it. Very dangerous. Really. But I also think, like, I go back to two things. I think Donnie's onto something. Pitt fans, there's always going to be this, like, weird subtle war between Pitt fans and Penn State fans when Steelers draft a player from either team.
I honestly don't remember that being a thing until Kenny happened. I don't remember Penn State fans rooting against James Conner. I don't remember Pitt fans rooting against Franco Harris and Jack Ham and those
guys.
Well,
there wasn't Twitter back then.
Okay. But I'll say with Connor, I don't think Penn State fans.
Well, no one was rooting against him because
James
his
Connor.
Personal story was so unbelievably inspiring. I think it was a very hard look to be like, you know, I really don't like James Connor. We don't have a ton of examples of it, frankly, in recent years. The Kenny thing absolutely is a flashpoint. So I think Donnie's part right, but I also just think Steelers have an expectation that tight ends who come here play a certain way. And Heath Miller's not a Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of really good.
He's a Steelers Hall of Famer.
Right, and so if you're following a player that had great success with the team, who played the position in a selfless, highly effective way that Heath did, and this guy makes a lot of money, doesn't play the position like Heath, and hasn't delivered the results, there's going to be a natural blowback.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back there.
Listen to the PM Team on Demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. This place is going to be rocking tonight with Thursday Night Football, Penguins, Islanders, baseball playoffs, and it's already filling up. Only a few seats remain here, so get on down to the Rivers Casino Sportsbook to watch these games later this afternoon and later on tonight.
What team has the best chance of coming back after they've dug out of a 2-0 hole? I guess, do you give the Cubs or the Phillies a better shot at it?
Cubs.
Of those two.
Cubby Bear.
Interesting.
Were you going to say the Phils?
The Phillies have like a dirtbag quality to them in the playoffs that I do like, but I think they have too many bad players. You know who's like, who used to be really fun to root for them because he was just like a dirtball? And he hit home runs at funny times, and now he sucks as Castellanos.
When you say he hit home runs at funny times, there would be some kind of great
like Tom Brenneman,
tragedy.
Tom Brenneman would be giving like a very this attempted heartfelt apology for having said, you know, very bad stuff on a hot mic. And then he launched the home run heard around the world.
Whenever there's like something that happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like if there's like a
some kind of calamity, people
yes.
bet on him to hit a home run that night.
That's not funny. What is weird is that like those people have bet and won on it.
I know.
It happens.
Tyler Glass now pitches for the Dodgers tonight as they look to close out the Phillies shortly after we get off the air at 6. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's where we find Jason Mackey, Post-Gazette Pirates writer, brought to you by Westminster College, where every student accepted for fall 2026 is guaranteed a scholarship over at Westminster. Jason, is this the year the Pirates give out a multi-year contract in free agency?
I've been burned by this before, Andrew. I'm going to go with no, although I should be wrong. They should. It is long overdue. They need to make that statement if you're not going to change anything else. I'm just going with no simply because it has been so hard for them to line up on the appropriate free agent that, you know, not to say that they won't try. I've just started looking more at trades, man, and trading Keller or young pitching or whatever than getting somebody to come in here for multiple years.
Jason, what based on your this is a follow-up,
what
essentially.
A joke.
I know. This is a follow-up, essentially. Based on your understanding of it and the people you talk to, is there ever an internal conversation there where Ben Cherington or even Travis Williams, I guess, the two people who most directly report to Bob Nutting, go to him and say, Bob, if you've talked about urgency, let's say we all want to win here, we all want to make this work with Paul Skeens, that's going to mostly require you just allowing us more money to sign free agents. Like, do you think that direct and blunt of a conversation ever happens there?
I think that version of a conversation happens, Chris. I don't think it's as blunt as you laid it out. And that's how it should go. I mean, I completely agree with you. I think that's echoing the sentiment of fans. Like, the focus should be on the field. What is best for this baseball team? I think a version of that has been told to Bob Nutting, and I don't think he has, you know, opened the pocketbook as much as one could or as much as they would like, as much as one is needed around here. I mean, I know Andrew wants to ask me about the multi-year contract thing, but that would be a way. That would be a way to do it. A multi-year contract, at least show your people, look, if we're going to keep the hitting group, if we're going to keep everybody else, here's a change.
Jason, you said it's going to happen via trade. I just said before we brought you on that Tyler Glass now is going to start for the Dodgers tonight. How much organizationally are they still spooked and haunted by that trade?
More than they should be, probably. I mean, it's not a dead issue, I'll say it that way. I still hear about it. I still have conversations with people about it. I don't know if that is why the Pirates haven't made what I would argue is a trade they need to make. I mean, it's kind of like the Spencer Horwitz trade, which looks a little bit better in hindsight, but you know, how much is it still a factor? I think people still think about it in the organization, yes. And I just hope that it doesn't scare them off from doing what's necessary right now, because that's the trade they need to make. They just actually need to make the good version of it.
How much faith is there internally that Ben Cherington's capable of making the good version of it?
Yeah, that's...
Boy, that laugh to start with is a really reassuring part of start to the answer,
right?
Jason.
Right. I mean... Look, I'll explain it this way, and I'm not trying to squirm away from the question, but, I mean, they did bring him back, so there has to be some level of faith, right? Like, you wouldn't bring the guy back if you didn't think he could do some version of the job. That being said, over the past 6 years, what track record is there? I certainly understand people that are skeptical of that, and I think that exists internally as well, but I think ultimately they think bringing Cherington back is better than blowing it all up right before the, you know, what is a lot of people believe is going to be a lockout, and this is their closest path forward or the closest way they can get back to winning. I think a lot of people on the outside, me and you guys included, would probably disagree with that and that it's the best to blow it up. But, I mean, I'm just relaying their thinking that they think it's easier than, you know, going whole hog, changing out everything, having to learn new players and worrying that's going to delay their progress.
Do you think Tommy Pham or Isaiah Kiner-Falefa will be back and playing for the Pirates in 2026?
No, I do not.
Do you think that Jared Triolo will be in the opening day starting lineup for the Pirates?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that Henry Davis will do more than just catch Paul Skeens and fill in every so often as the team's catcher?
Yes, I do. I don't know if we're going like the quick stuff. It seemed like we were.
Well, what is their plan?
I can elaborate if you want.
Okay, what is their actual vision for catcher next year? Like on a more like regular basis? Because I know even the best catchers maybe only play 135 games, broadly speaking.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, Chris, if they just run it back with what they had last year, which I know isn't going to appease a lot of people. But I think they think Joey Bart is better than he did, you know, he performed last year. I think they feel like they have to give Henry Davis a chance. He's their best defensive option, and Rafael Flores is kind of late to the party in a pretty interesting ad. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to address that via free agency or trade, right? Like, they're going to be looking at left field, third base, you know, some guys with some versatility. I think they're probably going to try to roll with what they have behind the plate.
Oh, if they're thinking like Bart and maybe others are better hitters than they showed for the balance of the year, Why didn't they make a change at hitting coach?
I know. That still mystifies me. I mean, the pitching coach thing I can sort of get down with. Like, if you have a group of pitchers that you don't feel like is reaching your full potential, all that stuff. Like, what argument is there for hitters? And I guess it is the same as the Charrington logic, where removing it all and blowing it up would theoretically delay progress because somebody would have to come in here and learn the hitters would have to learn them, et cetera. I just don't think it's the right move. I don't think you can bank on what this group has done. I mean, I guess you have to sort of go back to the drawing board and talk more about process, but that's not going to encourage anybody. That's not going to sell many tickets or, you know, get people to think about your team any differently.
Jason Mackey, Pirates insider. You hear him on the station. He'll be part of Pittsburgh Game Day Sunday for the Steelers and Browns. Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Enjoy.
There you go.
Man, some of the beginnings to his answers to some of our questions just...
Malsy, they haven't given out a multi-year deal since
Nova. Pain is the description.
Oh, I know. 2016.
I know. It's
one of the most damning...
It's unserious.
...facts about them.
It's unserious behavior. It is. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't say anything else.
And look,
it's an unserious posture by this franchise.
And look, they've done a better job of retaining players on long-term deals, like Keller, like Brian Reynolds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But to go that long without giving somebody multiple years in... This is not like reserve clause era baseball. It's 2025.
I know.
You can't find one guy that you think is more than just a rental player who you're signing to flip at the trade deadline. All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.